It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Now it's time for another Guy Benson Show, Benson Bite, where we bring you the day's most interesting interviews in a bite-sized package. For the full episode, visit GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, I'm very pleased to welcome back in studio Kevin McCarthy, former Speaker of the House, former California Congressman. Last time you were here in studio with me, you were sitting in that chair right there and you were not yet Speaker. Mm-hmm. And now here we are together. You were Speaker for a while. We remember how that all went down. We'll talk about maybe
some of
that.
Well, wait a minute. Then I'm beginning to think you're bad luck.
I think it probably wasn't me. It's just a guess. Just a guess that it wasn't me. Before we get into congressional drama, although there's actually a tie-in.
Okay.
We were just talking about what's happening kind of in your neck of the woods, an hour and a half from your district, UCLA. One of the worst examples, but it's playing out all sorts of places, campuses around the country, anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas mobs and violence, and administrations, especially at UCLA, just being like, well, if you have masked terrorism supporters setting up checkpoints where Jews can't pass, so be it. I mean, I can't believe this is happening.
You wouldn't think this was America, for one, but there's a number of reasons for it. If you study history, the world looks like a lot like the 1930s. I mean, the actions of Putin are very similar to Hitler. You could walk them all through the movement. Hitler went and created an axis of evil, empire in Asia that wanted to expand. Then he went to Italy. You look at what Putin did, bounding with China, North Korea, a movement within Asia, then Iran, who wants to take over. You've got a weakness in the presidency that pushed our allies away. Then you watched what happened recently when the Democrats controlled Congress. Congresswoman Omar equated America and Israel equal to Hamas and the Taliban. And the leadership of the Democrats wouldn't rebuke her. Nancy Pelosi actually goes on TV to clarify that she would not rebuke her because she's an integral part of their conference.
And that was when they were in the majority.
Yes, and kept her on foreign affairs, where she would get classified briefings. When I became Speaker, I removed her from foreign affairs. Congresswoman Tlaib tried to have a celebration against the creation of Israel on the 75th anniversary of Israel. I removed the room for her able to have. Then she went to Bernie Sanders and held it in her office. No rebuke from the Democrats. So if you're wondering, why is this now sparking up on our college campuses just a few years later? Well, if it's allowed in the halls of Congress under the Democratic leadership, why wouldn't those on the college campuses? But more importantly, why wouldn't those who want to fund it? Because if you look at the arrest in Columbia last night where they took over and ransacked, how many of those were actually students? So if you're wondering, could Hamas come to America? It's happening right now. I'll guarantee you they're recruiting in those tents. I'll guarantee you the funding of where it's coming from to disruption. And what's it doing? Disrupting the universities, taking American flags down, replacing it with foreign flags, and thinking nothing's wrong with that. Intimidating students based upon their faith. We remember what happened in America when individuals would block education for Americans based upon the color of their skin? Why isn't it the same uproar today? Why isn't the actions of this administration taking the actions of where John Kennedy took back then, where his brother, as the attorney general, sent the troops in to make sure those students would get to class? I mean, how does Biden sit by being the leader of the free world, knowing that he's the president of the United States, understanding history of what's transpiring, and allow this to continue on? You know, if we're concerned about what's happening on these college campuses, just wait to see what's going to happen at the Democrat convention.
That's, I think, a preview. I think we're seeing it now of what's coming down the pike, and we'll have more to say later in the show, actually, about Congresswoman Ilhan Omar.
But UCLA is the University of California college.
Public.
Where's the governor? This also builds with the wokeism of what they wanted to put into these universities for presidents, not focus on education. And now,
well, this is the outgrowth of it, right?
It totally is.
Yeah. And your point about Omar, and I said we're going to refer more to her later in the show, she has these occasional outbursts of anti-Semitism. I think she's absolutely...
Her daughter is a part of Columbia and was a part of this.
Yeah, at Barnard.
And then here comes the squad to defend it.
Oh, and she was hugging the guy who said that he wants all Zionists dead and might want to kill them himself. I mean, that was...
Is that not hate speech?
He was embraced by Ilhan Omar, who years ago, when you guys were still in the minority, Pelosi was speaker... She had one of her occasional anti-Semitic outbursts, clearly textbook anti-Semitism, and they couldn't even pass a resolution condemning anti-Semitism because the party rushed to defend her. And they watered it down and turned it into an All Lives Matter.
Exactly.
You know, condemnation. You're saying that the seeds of what we're seeing on campus right now have been sown for a while, even on Capitol Hill.
Connect the dots. Congresswoman Omar comes to Congress. Less than 12,000 people have ever had that privilege. She grew up in a foreign land, and America did what America does best. It opens up her arms, right? Brings people in that wants a more perfect union. But she somehow hates this country. Her hate speech went in. Now, who is in the first protest in these colleges is arrested? Her daughter. Who knows where the funding comes from? Who celebrates it and brings her friends, other members of Congress, to defend what they're doing against America?
She just at Columbia called Jewish students who support Israel pro-genocide. I know that Don Bacon from Nebraska is drawing up a censure resolution for her. Should she be censured?
Yes. Look, I removed her from foreign affairs for a reason.
Yeah.
People could have difference of opinion, but the hate speech to have, think if she was getting classified briefings on what's happening in the Middle East, who would she share them with? You wonder.
Former Speaker Kevin McCarthy with us here in studio. So it was a real bear of a journey to get to the speakership. Covered that here every day for what was a week or whatever it was.
That was good radio, though, wasn't it?
It was.
More people are watching C-SPAN than at any time in C-SPAN yeah, history. No.
The ratings bonanza for C-SPAN, for sure. And then you had the gavel. Then there was a group of people, very small group of people, but the majority was so small. That
there's just eight, but all the Democrats. But, you know, you missed that time between the speakership and that transpiring. Think about what we did. We had the largest cut in American history, more than $2 trillion. Reformed welfare, NEPA reform, pulled back $20 billion from the IRS that was already funded to do those audits. We passed H.R. 2, the toughest border security bill, Parents' Bill of Rights. We passed energy independence. I mean, every week we were building and building, passing some of the, if you look at the first 6 months, it's one of the most productive times in Congress people have had. But then you have one member of Congress, Matt Gaetz, who has an ethics complaint against him, who came to me to try to get me to influence the Ethics Committee. And for America to understand, the Ethics Committee is always equal number of Republicans and number of Democrats. I don't ever talk to them. They could investigate me. I don't know. And it was a investigation that happened 4 years prior. See, there's an allegation that he slept with a 17-year-old and paid her. Now, is it viable? Well, they have a right to investigate it, but the people around him are in jail for it. And so he wanted me to somehow stop this, which I would not. So then he went and got seven other Republicans and every single Democrat to try to dictate who the speaker can be. And he was able to change that because of the motion to vacate. Now, since that time, what has transpired? Have we been able to secure the border now? No, we missed that opportunity. When Israel was attacked on October 7th, he had just removed me. Was there any action? No, it took 6 months later. What type of message does that send to Iran and the rest of the world when we're looking in the 1930s?
And now your successor.
But these eight wanted to deal, worked with all the Democrats.
Now your successor, eventually, Mike Johnson, he's under fire as well from some of the same characters, but it's kind of a different group. Marjorie Taylor Greene was more of an ally of yours. Now she's going after Speaker Johnson here. Apparently there's going to be, here we go again, motion to vacate potentially next week.
It won't go anywhere.
You don't think it'll succeed?
No, no, no. The Democrats said they want to. They'll table it. But, I mean, the things you have to look at now, since that transpired, remember, I was leader for 5 years. During those 5 years, Pelosi was speaker, four of those. We gained 5 seats in California, Republicans did. We gained 5 in New York. We won the majority. In both election cycles, when Republicans lost the presidency, both cycles they lost the Senate, legislature, and governors, you know what never lost? Congress. In fact, when Biden won the presidency,
The House.
But do you realize when Biden won the presidency 4 years ago, was the first time since 1994 no Republican incumbent lost? And if you watch what we were able to do about recruiting, we elected the most women, the most minorities in congressional history for Republicans. We raised more money. Just the super PAC I raised had more money than the DCCC and their super PAC combined. The candidates, more. And now, where are we? Well, we haven't been able to move anything. Didn't get border. The Democrats got the bill they wanted to pass. You now have Democrats with more money.
Do you think that was a mistake by Speaker Johnson?
Well, what I look at, look, if you're the Speaker of the House, you control, you're the majority. What you should do is negotiate directly with the president. Would I ever have gotten $2 trillion in cuts, welfare reform, NEPA reform, and take the IRS money if I sat down with Hakeem and Schumer? They would never agree to that. The power you have as speaker is being the majority of what comes to the floor. Now, what you've got to put strategy behind it. So when October 7th happened, I think a fatal mistake here was not funding Israel right then. When they decided to put a pay for, it never went anywhere, right? And 7 months later, they came back and passed funding for Israel. You should have sent it right there to make sure Iran would never attack Israel and the rest of the world knew where we stood. You also then put Ukraine equal to the border. Then you should have gone directly to the president and negotiated the border. And this all could have been done by November. But now all you got was Ukraine and funding for Israel, but you got no border. And all the Democrats wanted were those two things. So you gave up your leverage and your power. You're the majority. You're the speaker. You determine what comes to the floor. So you can't expect the Senate Republicans in the minority to negotiate the deal you wanted on immigration and say, you go to negotiate, then I'll decide whether to bring it up.
Let me ask you about leverage, because part of the reduced leverage that the Republicans have right now in the House is the majority was already small. It's gotten even smaller. It's down to like microscopic, if you can even see it.
That doesn't make a difference if it's five or if it's one.
Well,
it's 217 to 213. It's 4 seats. Listen. When you're tight like that, sometimes you're focused better. Is it tough? Yeah, but it's just as tough here as it was with 2 or 3 more seats, because the other 2 seats are being filled in the next month. My seat will be filled on the 21st of this month. So then there's another one.
When critics say you applied for a job for 2 years and you left the position when you lost the speakership, you left Congress, they say that's not a great look. He should stay and finish the term. What's your response to that?
You know, that's a fair criticism. And what I went through and what the decision-making, like, after we went out, a number of people said, you should go win more seats again because you've always won as leader and come back and be speaker again. Okay, so if I was out raising money and recruiting candidates, is that helping the speaker or is that undercutting the speaker?
The new speaker.
The new speaker.
Yeah.
No. And if we win more seats, should I run for speaker or the speaker should be still be speaker? Now, I'm not on any committees. I did everything else. And there's a couple things that are personal that I looked at. I was 58 years old. My father died at age 58. That was weighing on me in all perspective of what I do. I've also done everything within Congress. It was difficult if I went to the conferences and the new speaker, Mike Johnson's there, because if I get up and talk, people, if 96% of them support me and I say something, then is that undercutting? It's kind of like...
And Pelosi's doing it, right, on the other side.
Oh, yeah, because she's undercutting Hakeem every day.
Oh, really?
Oh, why is she staying? Does she not think Hakeem can lead? I mean, it undercuts. If you privately look, Hakeem hates that she's still there. It bothers him to no end that she's still there.
Huh.
Why is she still
there? You hear that from Democrats?
Yeah, I heard it from all the time. They're frustrated. They're not allowed. Okay, if you're running a company and you put a new CEO in, are you still going to go in and run it? I mean, what I told Mike at the very beginning, I won't come to conference unless you want me to, because it harms him. In a way, he's got to be able to and be allowed, not able, but be allowed to be the speaker.
So let me ask you this. We only have about 2 minutes left. You've now been out for a while here, a couple months.
The last thing, too, I tell you, I knew Higgins was leaving the Democrat. So if I left at that time, my seat could be filled this month. So as the Democrat comes in, the Republican comes. So there would be no loss.
Yeah, that's part of the calculation.
Yeah.
Just quickly here, you're now on the outside watching this. You're not as in it. You're not in the front row involved in the room. It gives you a different perspective on some of it now.
It does.
You were marveling during the break, 1 minute left, about how much worse the president has been than you ever expected. From the outside, has that hit you harder?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at inflation, you look at our standing around the world, I still have a lot of world leaders I talk to on a regular basis, and they're just wondering what's happening to America, right? I've worked with this president when he's vice president other times. He's not the same man that he was before. You can't have an attack on Israel and be the world leader and have to put a lid on it that day. You've got to be able to go out and communicate. I've watched what he has done just from a philosophical basis. It's no different than having Bernie Sanders in, but Bernie Sanders is more with it than he is. Mm. And that's the difficulty we have. We're leaderless. Now, will he get reelected? I doubt it. When he won last time, he won by 48,918 votes, and his favorability was plus 10. It's
in,
now minus 20.
In certain 20. States, right? In the swing states.
Yeah, but your electoral college is just the swing states right. that matter. And so now, if you look at his polling where it was with Hispanics and Black Americans, he's still carrying them, but not like he was before.
So you think Trump's going to win?
If the election was today, Trump would win. But the election's in November. Anybody, it could all change.
Would you take a role in the Trump administration if he wins?
Look, my point is, I support Trump. I want Trump to win. I'm going to help any way I can. I believe being a public servant, you'd help at anybody. If I'm the best person to do something and someone calls, I'd look at it and I would do it. But that's not what I'm looking to do, no.
Okay. Kevin McCarthy, former Speaker of the House, with us in studio here on The Guy Benson Show. We got a lot in there. It's great to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
That was yet another Benson Bite. For full episodes of The Guy Benson Show, go to GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.